let's pray before we get started. Father, we just are so grateful for your word. And I just thank you, God, that every single person here has ears to hear what you have to say to us tonight. Father, I'm excited because I know that when I feel like an imperfect vessel, you can speak right through me, right to the heart of somebody who needs to hear the words that you're going to speak through me. And Father, tonight we just believe that your word does not return void, but it accomplishes that which it's sent to do. So Father, tonight we just believe that there's going to be people that right in this room are infused with hope, but they're going to be so full that they're going to go help infuse somebody else with the hope that they need. Father, we just believe that it is a hope-filled season because we know as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, it's all about the hope that he brought to the earth. And Father, we don't have to live in a lost, hard, dark world any longer, but we can live in a world that's filled with hope. And I thank you, God, that you're just going to make that come alive in us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, how many of you love the prayers of Paul in Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians? They're just such great prayers to start off with. And one of them that I really love is in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 is where it starts. Actually, I think it starts in verse 15 or even 13, perhaps. 15. Let's start there. If you have your Bibles, I always love to hear Bible pages turning. It's a good thing to have your Bible with you. If you're doing it on your iPad or on your phone, that's great too, because any way we can get the word in is a good way to get the word in, right? In fact, I think you should have a couple Bibles with you all the time. I carry one in my purse all the time. I carry it on my iPad. I have one in the bathroom. I have one by my nightstand. I've got one by the chair I sit in when I just have my quiet time. So we got Bibles all over. It's a good thing to have the word around you. Amen? Most important, it's good to have it in your heart. But let's read in Ephesians, because everybody got there by now after I kept talking. Chapter 1, verse 15, and I have my New International Version. My husband calls this the Nearly Inspired Version or the Nazarene International Version. I think that's pretty funny because I was raised as a Nazarene, but it's a great version because so often he'll say, this is what it says in the Greek. And I said, well, my new NIV says that too. So it's kind of fun. But here we go. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Isn't that amazing to think about? That's wonderful to think he's praying for us. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, let me see, I lost my spot. I have not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That's a long sentence. Did you get all that? Praise the Lord. Every time I think I write long sentences, all I have to do is think about Paul, and I don't write long sentences at all. But Paul says to us that first of all, he's praying for us. How wonderful is that? But he wants us to receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. And he wants us to know the hope of his calling. The first thing that I think is interesting and wonderful for us to understand is, what is your calling? Do you know what your calling is? It's a good thing to know because we don't want to go through life without purpose. We want to know what God has called us to do. And of course, it's a general will that all of us are to be the light that he's called us to be, but he has a specific will for you to do on the earth too. And that's what's really exciting about even going through our lay ministry process or the whole life development process is you can find out exactly what your passion is and how it combines with different things, and you can know what you're really called to do. And I think that's so important for us as believers to know that, because God has a trigger point for us. He knows what's going to hit us and make us tick, and he knows that that's how we can reach other people. So it's important for us to know our calling. And then secondly here, it says it's important for us to know our inheritance. Do you know what we have because of what Christ Jesus did for us? It's very important for us to know that. So do you know that we have right standing with God because of our inheritance in Christ? We have all the benefits that Jesus bought for us on Calvary. I love the word sozo, which is the word for salvation, which is a sevenfold word that it actually encompasses all the things that we have because of our inheritance. So it's good for us to know our calling. And secondly, it's good for us to know our inheritance. And then thirdly, there it says it's important for us to know the power that is at work within us. And where does that power come from? The Holy Spirit. You're right. So we need to have the Holy Spirit's power working in us. We need to get in gear and keep it going. Hope is what can see it working. Hope knows things will get better. If you don't have hope, you feel like nothing's going to get better. It's only going to get worse, right? But if you have hope, there's like something at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train coming at you, which is wonderful to think about. There's some light out there, and you know that you can make it. And sometimes it's even good for us just to remind people, you know, when they're in a dark place, it's not over. You're going to make it. And those words can bring hope to them. But hope knows that things are going to get better. Hope is a way that we can start to think. We can take different paths in our mind. And what does the Bible tell us to do? It says to renew our mind to the Word of God. So when we renew it, we have to take the old thoughts out and put the new thoughts in. And one of the ways that we can do that is when you start going down the path of, oh, it's hopeless. There's no way this is ever going to work out. What you say is, no. There's hope because there's Jesus. There's hope because of the word says that there's hope. And we can start thinking that way. One of the things I have written down here is that every void is filled with something. And if you don't fill a void with the Word of God, that void is going to be filled with something. And if we keep going down the negative path, more negative will come into our life. Amen? So let's fill it with the Word of God. Hopelessness makes you feel helpless. And we don't want people in our world to feel helpless. We want them to have an infusion of hope. So let's raise the hope level around here. Can we do that? Even with everybody in this room, let's raise the hope level. Every little child that we know of, can you imagine even around this time of year, they're just filled with hope. You know, they look at the lights and they look at the presents and they get all hope filled. That kind of childlikeness is what we need to have that hope rising in us. But in the midst of that, we know that life happens, doesn't it? Have you ever been surprised by anything in your life? Okay, I think everybody could probably raise two hands and 2 feet for that one. There's surprises that come that you never, ever expected. People lose a mate way earlier than they expected. Things can go out of control. Children don't act the way you're expecting them to act. Just so many different situations you can think of. Life happens. And if you allow the experience to define your life, you will feel hopeless. But if you let the Word define your life, you'll feel hope-filled. And that's what we're going for. Amen? We want to be hope-filled. So don't be defined by the negatives that are happening in your life. We need to get in the flow of hope. And I almost like to think of it as a river. Is when hope is infused into us, it's like a river just pouring through us that we can feel like there's going to be something new happening. There's something better in store for us. And we don't have to feel like life is over. And we can possess that hope-filled feeling. And that's a good thing. You know, one of the things I think that's important for us too is also to live in the truth. You know, we can look at our circumstances and say, well, this is what it is, but this isn't how it has to remain. Do we believe in God that can change circumstances? I hope you can say yes to that. Amen. We believe that when we pray that God hears us and He wants to change circumstances for us. So let's expect that and be expectant about that, because we can look at the worst that is happening, you know, even in our world situation with politics and ISIS and all those other things. And we can get so discouraged, or we can say, you know what, if worse comes to worse, we got heaven. Hallelujah. And what a wonderful thing that is. Amen. If the end would happen, we're going to heaven. What a wonderful place. No better place than that. So we're going to live in the truth, but we're going to keep our hope high and our hopes raised. People have got to know the truth before they embrace it. And what we need to realize is that this trumps whatever circumstances are happening in our world. This is the truth. And the truth, we know, when you know the truth, it'll set you free. And when you're free, you can live in hope. And hope is such a wonderful place to be. So we can embrace it and be set free. Whether it comes to your finances, if you feel strapped at this moment in your life, or your health is not at 100%, or your marriage is not flourishing, or, you know, it's your children are not doing what you expected them to do. If you're at that place, I just don't know what's happening here. We can know that God can change those situations around. Hope is something that we can trust in. God said He's the God of all hope. And let's look at the scripture again. It says, that I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. He's called us to hope. How cool is that? How wonderful. Okay, the next scripture I want us to look at is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And I turned too far over. If you have that in your Bible, it's in there. Just a couple pages back. Actually, back toward the back. Let's go to chapter 1 and verse 27. And I actually want to start a couple of verses before that because it's so good. If you don't know, Colossians 1:10 is the verse that we use for our women's ministry around here. It says, and we pray that in this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. I just love that. But let's start in verse 24, and then we'll get to verse 27. It says, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Those are shouting words right there. Christ is in us. How more hope-filled can we be? It's the hope of glory. I want to read it to you in the Message Bible because it's so good too. It says, I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into in this world, the kind of suffering Christ takes on. I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part of this suffering. When I became a servant in this church, I experienced the suffering as a sheer gift, God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth. The mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. We don't have to live in the dark. Hallelujah. I love that. But now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is this: Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. This is the substance of the message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we may bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic Christ, no more, no less. That's what I'm working so hard at day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy that God so generously has given me. I love that it says that in the NIV too. It says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Whew. Think about that. His energy is at work in us. His power is at work in us to bring us to that place of hope that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. I feel like we ought to be shouting. That's good news. Amen. Are you happy about that? Praise the Lord. Hope lifts us above the challenges of this world. It's not reserved for eternity alone. You know, once we get to heaven, we don't need to have hope. We'll be in the presence of God. It's for us right here and right now. And abundant eternal life starts right here and right now. You know, marriages need hope in Christ. People everywhere are hurting. You can see it wherever you go. And we can be those hope infusers in their life. Here we go. Got to get the thing to work. There we go. Life happens. We know that. Hopes are deferred. But options can get better. Can you believe that? You know, it seems like maybe things are not going the right direction for you. Have a hope that things are going to change. And we can see that happen. Options do get better. Choices with a broken heart lead to a train wreck. So if you're in the midst of a bad place, don't make a choice that's going to get you to a worse place, right? After a while, let's go from that hopeless feeling to being hope-filled. Amen. God is here to heal the brokenhearted. And when hope starts rising, hopes rise and things get better. A heart being made whole is one that's being filled with hope. When the hope comes to pass, it is a tree of life, a fruitful tree when you are filled with hope. Positive things happen when you're filled with hope. Amen? Praise the Lord. I think this happens so often. People quit way too soon. Your miracle might just be around the next curve. Don't stop before your miracle happens. Amen? Whether you're believing for your health, whether you're believing for your lost child, whether you're believing for whatever your situation may be, don't stop too soon. Amen? Praise the Lord. Don't quit. You know, I can think of what Pastor Lynn talked about on Sunday. You know, Abraham could have said, you know, it's not happening. Well, he actually did say that and had a second plan, but God's first plan still came to pass. Amen. Let's wait for God's first plan. When hopes are delayed, we start negotiating down, but let's not do that. Let's just go ahead and keep our heart hope filled. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. If you can get there. I put a little marker in there because this is such a little tiny Bible. These words are so little. It says in Romans 4, 18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Just think about those words for a minute. There was no reason for hope, and he believed anyhow. Can that be who we are? If there's no reason for hope in your world right now, can you believe anyhow? We can, can't we? Because the God of all hope is in us, the hope of glory. Amen? Let me read that again. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. I want you to take those words right there. Does God have power to do what he has promised in your life? He does, doesn't he? I want that to encourage you. And think about those words. Against all hope, Abraham had hope and he believed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do what we're called to do. You know, feelings go up and down, but let's be believers who have faith and believe. Things can change. They don't have to stay how they are. Amen? I hope you're getting excited about that because that's exciting me. Don't put your hope in the natural realm. If we just think that it's going to happen in the natural realm, it's not. We have to have the power of God working in our life. Amen? If we look at natural circumstances, all we have to do is look in 2 Corinthians where we realize that it's not in the flesh that things are going to work. We have to realize that this is a war that's in the spirit realm and things have to change there first. But we are called to hope. Don't put your hope in the natural things because that'll disappoint you. Put your hope in God. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 42 verse 5 because I think this is where we can get easily and we don't want to stay here. We want to get to this place of filled with hope. Psalms chapter 42 and verse 5. Everybody there? One person? I'm there too. That's two. 42 verse 5 says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan. Have you ever had to just speak to your own soul? Sounds like that's what we can do. We can say, you know, you don't have to be downcast, soul. You can put your hope in God. And I think we can speak peace to our soul when we need to, but we can speak hope to our soul as well. If you're feeling that hopeless place, speak that hope into your life. And don't live in that place where you're downcast within me. Why is my soul downcast? Because I haven't put my trust in God. If I do put my trust in God, it doesn't have to be downcast. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hope thou in God. That happens for our marriages, for our businesses, for our church. Let's pray for that hope to rise within our body and just have that hope-filled feeling when you even come into the church building. Let's be filled with hope. Hope-filled energy, passion-filled around us. When hope starts rising up, it can overcome a broken heart. Aren't you glad for that? If your heart's been broken before, hope can overcome a broken heart. When hope starts rising up, it can overcome negative circumstances. Things can begin to change. Hope is a new way of thinking. It's a new way of living. We live a hope-filled life. You know, a lot of times we think God's clock is a lot slower than ours. We don't like it when 11:59 comes around and it's almost midnight and we feel like, come on, God, you got to come through. But you know what? He does come through, doesn't he? Have you experienced that before? He comes through. Praise the Lord. Then I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1, because this is what is so cool, is that faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. Everybody getting there? Hebrews chapter 11. Actually, the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 is so cool to read because it's like a hall of fame of faith. But let's just start there in verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. I think it was Pastor Lynn who used this illustration. I think it's so good. Maybe he even used it recently. But if you don't have something for your faith to shoot at, it's just going out there in the wind. And hope is the target. You shoot your faith at the target of hope. And if we want our faith to grow and mature, we need to have hope out there, knowing that there's something to shoot it at. So faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Let me read it to you out of the Message. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Isn't that the truth? Hallelujah. Faith makes life worth living. And faith cannot give substance if you have nothing to hope for. We need to have something to hope for. Hope says something's coming. There's something good around the corner. Your hope, I love this, is your anointed imagination. Think about that. God gives you anointed imagination to see the good when the bad is happening. When you have a miserable situation going on, your anointed imagination sees it not as it is, but how it can be. Amen? And that's a really cool place to be, because then you have something to shoot your faith for. We're not here because we're here because we had a hope or a dream, and we need to live that hope-filled life. Contrary to hope, hope believed. And that keeps us moving forward. We want to keep moving forward. You know, one thing that I was thinking about as I was preparing tonight was age doesn't define whether you are old or not. Loss of hope does. If you lose hope, your life's over, isn't it? We need to keep hope filled. Find your hope. Find that flow of hope inside you. That's how you get in the flow of God. Hope defines our passion and our energy. Let's look at another scripture in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And I think this is a scripture that Lynn actually talked about on Sunday, but so good. And it says, Hebrews 6:19. That's not the right scripture. No, that is the right scripture. I'm in the wrong chapter. There we go. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus is, who went before us. He's entered there on our behalf. He has become the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. We have an anchor. An anchor to hold us. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It makes real what you're hoping for. How cool is that? Great marriages happen because we have something to hope for. Keep your dreams up, whether you're starting a business, whether you're working through situations, even if you've seen it and heard it and it hasn't worked before, don't give up on hope. Amen. Don't wait for the government or the economy to make it better. Start right in your heart, because that's where it needs to start at. It will lift you and empower you. Have you let go of your hope? You know, it's time to rise up and move forward. And I think so often we can think about how we can move on to help somebody else get infused with hope. And especially during this season, I think about, you know, I'm a big word person. I think we should be encouraging each other with our words. But words are great, but deeds are good too. You know, if you have the opportunity to do a good deed, whether it's taking some cookies to your neighbor or maybe even just shoveling their snow when it snows, find a way to show the love of God. You're going to help raise their hope level too. And then the last scripture I want to look at, and then we're going to do something a little interesting and different. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is really one of my favorite scriptures because it speaks to every single person. There's not a person that it doesn't apply to. So you can say, it applies to me. Can you say that? It applies to me. And it starts right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Does that just make you smile? Whatever you've gone through, God can use to help somebody else. That's exactly what that's saying. So we can have one hand up to God, and then we can have one hand out to help somebody else. What a powerful way to live. That's how we should always live all the time. So I hope that that spoke to you tonight. It's not a whole long, heavy revelation, but I hope that you are hope-filled and that you can start filling someone else around you with hope. Tonight, I just ask a couple people if they would come pray. I know we've had some difficult circumstances in our church. There's all kinds of things that the enemy would like to really make this time of the year, especially be not hope-filled, but hopeless. And I've asked a couple people to just come and pray. And I'd like Bud to come on up and Anna to come on up and Treg. And we're just going to, I just ask them to pray for a couple of those situations. And we're going to do that. And then I encourage you to just pray along with us, and we're going to believe for some hope-filled people in our body. But then I hope what happens is this fills you up with hope so you can go spread some of that hope wherever you go. Why don't you start, Bud?
Father, we are just so glad that we are yours, that you have claimed us, that we know whatever happens in our life, we can come to you. We can express our joy, we can express our sorrow, we can express our need. And Father, we know that you hear us. We know the truth that you love us. And we know the truth that your thoughts of us are good and that you want nothing but good for us. Father, as this season comes, and think of Jack who recently has lost his wife, Father, would you bless him? Would you fill him with hope? Father, would you help him as he navigates this time without a mate and just learning to live without his wife and learning to live alone? Father, fill him with your blessings. Fill him with hope. And Father, just fill him with courage so that he can not just carry on, but Lord, that he can be triumphant and that he can be an example to others as they watch him go through this time. Father, we just lift Jack up to you and pray, Lord, that you would just give him special blessings and just absolutely overload him with hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you and I just lift everyone that's lost someone close to them, husband, wife, children, whatever. I lift Carlene up to you, Lord, because she is hope. She is such an example to me and shows me even the ways that I need to draw closer to you. We all need you because without your hope, God, we have nothing. We don't have anywhere to go. We can't get through these situations. But as long as we trust you and hold close to you and believe that you're going to get us through it, we will accomplish that. And you will use us all in the way that you need to help others. And we just thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us.
And Father God, tonight I just thank you for, you know, giving us an opportunity to have hope. There's a lot of single parents out there during this holiday season that are going to struggle because they don't have the support they need as couples do and families do. And Lord, I just ask that you just be with all the single moms and dads out there with kids, Lord, that they can be filled with hope. As a single parent, responsibilities double, and it just requires a little bit more faith and hope. And I'm so thankful that you can give that to us, and just ask that you just lay your hands on every single person through this holiday season. In Jesus' name.
Father, the fourth thing I believe we should pray for is people that suffer from depression. And Father, I just lift up anybody in this room that feels like that would define who they used to be. But I pray for a new definition over their life, that they're filled with hope, and that what the enemy had planned for their life is going to be totally turned around and changed in Jesus' name. Father, we just believe that you can bring a new level of joy and hope into the lives of those who might have suffered from depression, even from the seasonal depression or a chemical depression, whatever it is. Father, we know that you are more than able to heal and to restore in Jesus' name. And Father, we just ask you that for our whole body, Father, we pray for every single person who's a part, who calls himself a part of our church body. We just pray that they would have hope in their heart, Father, that they would realize that because of Christ being inside of us, that we have a hope-filled life, and that is the hope of glory. Father, we believe tonight that you can even help us have that new infusion of hope so we can help infuse others as well. Father, we thank you for these that have prayed for these others in our body. And we just believe, God, that the ones that we haven't talked about specifically that might need an infusion of hope, that you would minister to them specifically in Jesus' name. And Father, we're just so grateful for this season of hope. We pray, Lord God, that no one would feel hopeless, but they would know the hope of glory in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.